In essence, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. It is the Lord's Day, and that's why we have church on Sunday and not on Saturday, the Sabbath, because it is the Lord's Day, and the Bible says we ought to come together on the Lord's Day and celebrate and worship Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, this really is one of the landmark chapters in considering the resurrection of Christ, and it talks a lot about our resurrection and the effects and the outcomes and the results of the resurrection of Christ. You know, it's exciting. I love this Sunday. I love to spend time considering and thinking of the results and what the resurrection means to me. I'm so glad that I'm saved. I'm so glad that I'm born again. I'm so glad that Jesus died for me. He didn't have to, but He did. He did so willingly. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, I'm not going to read the whole passage, though it all really deals in a lot of ways about the resurrection. It makes very clear that the resurrection is necessary. If it did not happen, then you know what? All that have gone before us have died in vain. And the resurrection is the key. The resurrection is that point, that important point upon which our faith resides. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the Bible's, we're going to start at verse number 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51, the Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Now, last Wednesday night, we talked about a mystery. A mystery is that which was previously unknown or unable to be fully understood. So oftentimes you'll see Paul talk about mysteries in the Bible. And really what he's saying, "I'm going to explain something to you that you've not really understood previously. I'm giving you more revelation regarding this matter." And so he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for bringing us together this morning. Thank You for those that made it a priority to be here, to worship together, to worship You on this special Sunday where we remember specifically Your resurrection. I ask, Lord, that they might, every person here, including myself, that we might leave out of here blessed and edified and encouraged. And Lord, just with a stronger understanding of, Lord, what the resurrection means for us in our everyday living. Now I ask that You would just bless this time. Holy Spirit, empower this message in the few minutes we have this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I think of the resurrection, one word comes to mind. You find this word in this passage. It is the word victory. I like getting victory, don't you? I don't like to lose. I don't like to be downtrodden. I don't like to be beat. I think it's part of nature. You know, in our world today, they're doing all they can. You know, in our experiences with sports, with young people, and I'm not one of these parents that's, you know, out there crazy, and you know, you see those parents that are just out of control. But I found we've been a part of a couple sports leagues where it was all about everybody's winning. And you know, to me, there's always going to be a loser and there's always going to be a winner. That's just the way God has created us. And when I think of the resurrection, I think of the word victory. Why? Because is that really not what the resurrection is all about? Overcoming. I mean, you think that very morning, let me just take you back to that very day. Could you imagine how the disciples and how Mary and how all that they all felt as they stood there on that, and I really believe that Jesus was crucified on a Thursday. It's hard to do the math. We say 3 days, 3 nights. A lot of people say, well, Good Friday. How do you get 3 days and 3 nights from Friday to Sunday? Maybe I'm missing a day there, but really, if you count it up, and there's a lot of things, I'm not going to go into it, but if you look, could you imagine those disciples, those dear ladies, even the mother of Christ, as they stood there on that mount, that place called Golgotha, as they looked up and they saw their Messiah, their hope, being nailed to a tree. Could you imagine how their hearts sunk, thinking it's over? In fact, we see that in their attitudes and in their actions of the days following, don't we? We see them running, we see them hiding, we see them going into a room to hide because they're afraid that the government will have them next and they'll be on a cross. Discouraged, downtrodden, in one word, defeated. Or so they thought. And here they are, they're there, they're in this room. You know what I love about the resurrection story? Is who got the first news. It wasn't the big, Dr. Peter, Dr. James. It was the dear ladies. Here they are, they're going out, they're heavy-hearted, they're broken-hearted as they go to that tomb and they bring the spices to prepare His body and to finalize His burial. And as they're going to the tomb, they meet a gardener on the way. They meet a gardener on the way and they thought, they said, well, where is this tomb? Where does he lie? And then they saw, and it was revealed to them that it was the very Christ that spoke to them that day. Oh, could you imagine how their hearts were lifted? I don't think they walked home. Do you? Maybe floated. I bet you those ladies never had feet that fast. Oh, man! I mean, they ran back. Peter, James, John, Andrew, listen! We saw them. What? These ladies are crazy. Y'all have been shopping too much at Goodwill. Y'all have been out too much. This sunshine, this morning air. Yeah, and those, but she said, no, come, you've got to see. And here, previously, a group of men and women so downtrodden, so defeated, so discouraged, in one moment, one more, changed all of that. It was that morning of the resurrection. Defeat turned to what? Victory. When they came to that tomb and they saw what? The stone had been rolled away. And they go in and they look and there are his grave clothes. The ones that he had been so carefully wrapped in, lying there upon that slab. The resurrection to me, if I can think of one word, gives me and gives the idea of victory. And that's what we find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse number 57, Paul writes and he says to the Corinthian believers, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, what? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. He begins talking about the grave and about death. And this morning I want to talk about, in just a few minutes we have, the victory, the things that God gives us victory over because of the resurrection. The first thing that we find that we have victory over this morning is we have victory over death and the grave. Oh, as Christians, isn't it a blessing? What beautiful testimonies this morning. What a hope we have. What a hope we have. You know, I was thinking that we were considering some of the... Sister Vanessa had an encounter with talking to someone about what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe. And if you study them long enough, they believe that basically in annihilation, there's no hope. I mean, if you don't follow their teachings, then you're annihilated. I mean, there's just... you cease to exist. How hopeless is that? And if you do sort of believe their teaching, and you make it into that final kingdom, you've got to live, you've got to meet that standard of righteousness or you're annihilated. That's not hopeless. I look at that and I say, that's not what I want to be a part of.
But Jesus today, for us as believers, His resurrection means we have victory over death and the grave. But why is the death and the grave necessary this morning? I tell you, it's necessary because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all lawbreakers. We have all broken God's law. And because we have broken His law, we shall someday be judged for that. We shall someday have to stand in judgment for breaking His commandments.
I could take you to a multitude of verses, but because of time, I won't. Here we are, we stand before God condemned. John chapter 3 tells us that. In John chapter 3, if you'd like to turn there, you know verse number 16, don't you? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 18, though, is where I want to focus this morning. John 3:18, the Bible says, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Listen, man. Listen, woman. Listen, child. I tell you this morning, without Jesus Christ, you are condemned. You're on, so to speak, death row. You're just awaiting that day when your final breath will be taken. You're condemned because you're a sinner, because you've broken God's law. And oh, what a horrible day that will be if you die without Jesus Christ and you have to face punishment for your sin. Oh, how that would be such a horrible day. And as a pastor, to have to see and recognize that you who sat here this morning hearing the gospel message are being cast into the lake of fire because you have to pay for your sins. Oh, I will be brokenhearted that day. But I don't have to be, nor do you. All it needs you need to do this morning is receive Christ. See, that's why Jesus Christ came and died, because you deserve to die for your sins, but He came and died in your place. He took your place. What He requires is that you put your faith in Him, that you trust in Him to be your Savior and nothing else. He said, well, Pastor, I believe, yes, you have to trust in Christ, but you also have to be a good person. You also have to do these things, and that'll get you to heaven. Listen, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. The Bible tells us, for by grace. Grace is unmerited favor. What does that mean? Grace means you don't earn it. That means all these good things you're trying to do to get to heaven ain't going to work.
That's right.
You can't earn heaven. So the Bible tells us, for by grace are ye saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. This morning, if you think you're going to get to heaven by something you're doing, you're fooling yourself. You're deceiving yourself. And the devil's deceiving you. The Bible says that heaven is a gift of God. Now, gifts are gifts. If I do something to receive a gift, then it's really just not a gift after all, is it? It's like going to the bank. You know, I'm looking for a new bank. My bank is borrowing too much money. I'm thinking, you know what? There's all these free checking accounts out there. Why am I paying this bank $30 a month? I'm not paying any of this. So I'm not going to look around. You know what they'll do? You'll come and you'll open up a new checking account. What do you do? No, you didn't really get it. Your Savior this morning, you know what? You won't regret it. Because out of that, there is victory over death and the grave. This morning, I have a great hope.
You come to me with a gun this morning and say, I'm going to take your life.
I don't want that to happen. But you know what? If I died today, I'm worried about it.
I don't lay in my bed at night stressing over what's going to happen to me when I die, because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to heaven.
I know that this world is not my home. I know that while my body might be interred into the ground, you know what? My soul will be in heaven with God. And the day that He comes again, I love. Go to 1 Thessalonians. You can't preach a resurrection sermon without going to this at least once. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16. The Bible says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." You know what the resurrection has done? It has given me victory over death in the grave. Because even though my body might get stuck in 6 foot under in this ground someday, He's coming again. Just as they sang that song, He is coming again. He's not going to die. He's coming victorious. And I get to come on up out of that ground and meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the hope I have. Do you have that hope this morning? I hope you do. You can. What it requires is you to put away, repent of your dead works, repent of trying to get to heaven on your own, and just put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. The second thing that the resurrection gives us victory in, gives us victory over sin. Gives us victory over sin. How does it do that? The resurrection gives us victory over sin because God has made available to us the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us to overcome sin. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says here, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory." The victory over what? Verse 56, sin. And that's really the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse number 58, we're exhorted to do what? Therefore, because we have this victory, we are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Christ's resurrection gives me victory over sin. Amen. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What? God forbid! Right. How shall we that are what? Dead to sin. Amen. The resurrection gives me victory over sin. Go to that passage if you would. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. The Bible, just as I was saying there. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of Father, even so we should also walk in what? Our old life?
Yeah.
So walk in newness.
Right.
What does that mean? Well, a new life is a different life. See, before I was saved, I didn't care about sin. In fact, I sinned with impunity. I sinned with no concern for the results. Because that's by nature what man does. Man is a sinner by nature. However, the day I got saved, the day I trusted Christ, the old man died, and the new man was raised alive. And I am to walk in newness of life. Now, God expects me to walk in newness of life, live a life, and not necessarily perfect. Indeed, we still have these robes of flesh, and they're not perfect, that's for sure, right? But I have to walk in this life. I have to walk a life that is pure, a life that is right, a life that is holy, a life that is honoring to God. And I say this morning, the only way that can be done is through the power of God.
Amen.
You can't do it yourself.
Right.
You can't just turn over a new leaf. It requires God's power. And through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have victory over sin. You say, "Oh, Pastor, I can't give victory." You can. By God's grace. I tell you, I've been there. I've been where I have been beset by sins. Where it just seems to be a sin that I cannot overcome. A sin that I cannot get victory over. And I tell you, you can't on your own. But by God's grace, you can. If you go to Hebrews chapter 12, and if you'd just like to listen as I read this just for sake of time, the Bible says that in verse number 1, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto" who? Jesus. How do you get victory over sin? By keeping your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. By asking Him for the strength, for the power to overcome. God will do that. And that's available to you through the resurrection. That same power. I tell you, isn't that a great power that raised Jesus from the dead? No, it's not man.
Can any man raise another man from the dead? I don't know. Is there any power greater than raising someone from the dead? I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything greater than being able to say to someone who is dead, "Rise up and live." And Jesus did that. Did He not do that in Lazarus in John chapter 11? I read that this morning. What is it? It's a sweet passage. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection.
Woo! That gave me chills when I read that this morning. Because Mary and Martha, you know, they're not
understanding. They're thinking, yeah, okay, yeah. Someday you will go. They're not thinking. Jesus said, "I'm going to go raise that body from the dead.
I am the resurrection and life." That power that's available and was available to raise the dead from their graves is available to us to overcome sin. But we have to call upon God to receive it. We have to ask Him for His grace. In the same fashion, Christ's resurrection gives us victory over sin. Death in the grave, sin. Gives us victory over Satan. He's a real enemy. In the few minutes I have left, this is where I'm going to begin.
If you haven't figured out that Satan is your enemy, you better get the game. Better get the game, folks.
We are in a battle. And what troubles me is that there are many Christians that don't even realize they're in a battle. They think that's just part of life. Hey, Christian, you're in a battle for your very survival spiritually today. See, if you're a believer, if you're born again, Satan cannot take your eternal salvation from you. Thank God. You say, "Pastor, I struggle at times with my salvation and knowing that it's secure." Good passage to think about on this is John chapter 10. Beautiful, beautiful passage. And the word pictures that Jesus uses here. And in John chapter 10, He's talking about sheep. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me." And then in John chapter 10, in verse number 27... Good verse. You say, "Pastor, I struggle knowing that I'm saved. I struggle knowing that I'm eternally secure." Good scriptures. Verse 27.
"My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them what?" He says, "They know me, they follow me, they trust in me, they're my sheep, and I give to them eternal life." And I look at the next thing. "And they shall never perish." Now, when Jesus says that when you're saved, you'll never perish, guess what? You go to the bank on that. It ain't like me saying you're never going to go to hell. That's Jesus saying. "They shall never perish for what? Neither shall any man," I love this picture, "pluck them out of my hand." Now, think this morning with me. Your salvation is as secure as the strength of our Lord's hands. Now, He is God. And truthfully, He said, "No one's going to pluck me out of my hand." I love doing this illustration I've done with my children and talking about eternal security. I'll take a pen or some object and I'll put it in my hand. And I'll grip it and I'll grasp it as hard as I can. And I'll say to my children or someone else, "I want you to take that pen. That pen is yours. Take that pen out of my hand." And all the children go, "You know how children do, right?" "Yeah, I said, "Now think of this. You're that pen. That pen is yours. Verse number 29, "My Father, which gave to me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of our Father's hand." So basically, the illustration then continues. So you got Jesus, He's got the grip. And then He comes along and the Father puts His hand around the Lord's. Now we got it. Ain't good. And that's part of the equation. But it's the truth. For we are secure, and it's His resurrection that has made that secure. What a hope we have as Christians, and how we ought to share it with others. But you know, I tell you this morning, we are in a battle. Satan, we are in a battle for our very spiritual existence. Yes, he cannot. Satan cannot send you to hell if you're saved, and praise the Lord. But he can destroy you spiritually. But we have victory over Satan. Do you imagine?
I'd be curious to know his reaction that very morning.
That very morning, as he thought, for 3 days he won the victory. He had thought, you know what? I crucified the Messiah. He is dead in the grave. The world is now mine. I gave him a chance. I told him if he would just bow down and worship me, I would give him all the kingdoms of the world. But no, this is Satan talking. No, he wouldn't listen to me. He had to go and do it on his own. So I got him now. He's dead.
Could you imagine
that Sunday morning?
Satan, you know, all this future. Maybe they got, they're looking at that grave. I don't know if they were inside. They start to see something. And then they start to see stone. I bet you they.
Ah! He's alive! He's alive!
Indeed. Go to James chapter 4. I know it's early in the morning, but you've got to be excited about this stuff. I did not drink any mochas this morning either. I really didn't. No sugar. James 4, verse 7. I go to verse number 6. It says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God." So what he's saying, just humble yourself and say, "God, I need you. I need your power. I need your grace." If we submit ourselves to God, what will we do? Resist the devil. He will what? Flee from you. And that is available by God's power, by God's grace. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that we can have over Satan. The power of God. Victory over death in the grave. I'm so glad that I'm going to heaven. I'm so glad that, you know what? This is not it. Could you imagine if this was it? What a hopeless mess this would be. How miserable we would be. But it's not it. This is just this world. I love the song, don't you? "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up where? Somewhere beyond the blue." I love that. What a blessing. We have victory over death in the grave. We have victory over sin. Christian, this morning, if you're struggling with sin, you can have victory by God's grace through the power of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And number 3, we have power over Satan. You're in a battle. Get used to it. It's going to struggle. I've heard some folks this morning already say, "Pastor, this week was a battle. This week was a struggle." But you know what? You were in hand-to-hand combat with Satan all week. Continue to resist. Stand fast. Go back to our text, and I'm going to finish with this. And that's, isn't that what he's saying here in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 58? "Therefore, my beloved brethren, because we have this victory, because we are overcomers, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye..." What?
What's it say? "Be ye..." What does that mean?
That's God for His power. Steadfast, what?
Unmovable.
And not only standing strong, not only are we unable to be moved, but we're moving forward. A lot of people think the Christian life is just standing your ground. No, the Christian life is pressing forward. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what is available to us because of the resurrection. A victorious Christian life. And if you don't have it, it's not God's fault. It's our fault.
You can be victorious. You can be an overcomer. You can get victory over sin. You can get victory over Satan. And if you're saved, you already have victory over death and the grave. And you know what? All you need is to just rely upon the grace of God. Ask Him. I challenge you. Ask Him for His power this morning. Say, God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, I want that power in my life.
Amen.
I want that power to overcome sin. I want that power to overcome Satan. And I want that power to abound in Your work. The resurrection can be summed up in one word. At least this morning in my mind. It's all available to us through Jesus Christ. We need to be a church of victors.
Now, victory means what? There's some sort of struggle there. You can't have victory without struggle.
It's like the way we try to fight our wars here in our country here lately. We want to have victory, but we don't want to fight.
Right.
You're going to have victory, you've got to fight. And you have to win. It's not about seeing the kumbaya all the enemy. So I'm getting out there and fighting Christians. There's not victory without a battle, but you know what? We have God's grace to get through the battle and fight.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. I hope this morning, and again, I hope that God has touched your heart. No, I'm excited. I'm just, man, the Lord has just filled my heart with just an excitement for what is available and what is possible. So Christian, this morning, let me start with this question with every head bowed and every eye closed, because I don't want to ever assume on people's spiritual condition.
Would there be anyone here this morning and say, Pastor Smith, I'm going to call you on, I'm going to say, you know, embarrass you, I just want to pray for you. Would there be anyone this morning and say, Pastor, I don't know, that I have to feel the death of the grave. In fact, there's many nights that I violate afraid of God. It's good that I saw my way, and I'm scared to death. That hope you spoke of, not worrying, knowing you're going to heaven. I don't have that, Pastor. I want it. I hope to go to heaven, but I don't know for sure.
Will there be anyone this morning that would, by just raising their hand, allow me to pray for them?
Can I pray for you this morning? Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to go to heaven. I hope I'm going to heaven, but I'm just not sure.
Will you pray for me, Pastor? Anyone at all, just raise your hand up real quick and put it right back down. Anyone at all?
Thank you. Anybody else?
Maybe this morning you're for sure a believer. You know you're saved. But you've been struggling. Man, the battle has been fierce. Maybe it's just been a battle over sin. I mean, you've been struggling and fighting and trying to get victory.
Why don't this morning you just throw it all before the Lord and say, God, I need your grace. Overcome this same sin.
And maybe this morning you've been in a battle against Satan. Maybe you've been trying to do what's right, but man, it just seems like Satan out of every corner comes the fists and the punches. And you try to press forward, but man, you just keep getting beat back.
Maybe this morning you see the Lord God say, God, I'm in a fierce battle with Satan this morning. I need your power. I need the power of resistance. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. I want the victory. I want the victory in Christ. So whatever it might be this morning, we're going to have the pianist play as she does every service. If the Lord Jesus has spoken to your heart, I'm going to ask you right now, if you'd like to come to the front and make an altar on one of these chairs, or maybe right there where you sit.
Just spend some time with the Lord with head bowed and eyes closed. We can have victory. Maybe, Christian, this morning you've not been as faithful as you ought to have been in sharing this hope that you have with others.
What a perfect day to tell people ask you about Easter. Remember this morning, you just need to ask the Lord's permission.